Everybody else, grab your Bible. Please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. How many are ready for some fun in God's Word? Okay, how many are ready for some fun in God's Word? How many ready to be encouraged, challenged, stretched? Okay, a few of us. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So we are continuing our series, A Better Tomorrow. We began this Easter. We recognize that the resurrection of Jesus gives everybody an opportunity to experience a better tomorrow. Anybody here grateful that your life does not have to be defined by your yesterday or even your today? That God in His grace can change everything. And we believe that the same Savior that raised, you know, that rose from the dead is the same God that can bring life out of any situation in our lives. As it tells us in Romans 8:28, that we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. That God is working for good in your life and in mine. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? God is working for good. Well, we've been looking at a variety of different things. Last week, we talked about changing times. And if you were here last week, some people loved the message. Some were like, going, ouch, that's a painful message. What we did is we took a 100-foot tape measure. I remember the 100-foot tape measure. We rolled it out to 80. And then we talked about how our life, there's life behind us, and there's life before us, and what we do with our time matters. And then we had people stand on the line. You remember this. Some of you were like going, I'm at the end of the tape. And this, yeah, and I was like going, yep, we could stretch it out a little further. But there's this aspect that we look behind us and we see God's faithfulness and goodness. We recognize also where we are today are because of the decisions we've made in the past. And now we're moving into, okay, so what's before us? Because if God has a better future for us, then we have decisions we need to make today because the decisions we make today are impacting our future. Well, last week we talked about time. Today we're going to talk about another fun subject that some of you are going to go, this is amazing. And other people are going to go, ouch, two in a row. And so we're going to talk about money. Oh, can you hear the excitement in the room? We're going to talk about finances. Can you feel it? How many love talking about finances? Okay, you may not know this. Did you know this? Some of you are like going, oh man, I came on the wrong Sunday. I picked the wrong Sunday to come to church. How many know that money is an emotional thing? That there is a connection between money and emotion. And I'll prove it to you. When you have more bills than money, how many know money is an emotional thing? How many know when you have lots of money, it becomes emotional, like going, oh, this is good. I'm okay with this. Money is so emotional that you ask people about it, and sometimes they get real nervous and they get all like all closed up on it because money is just one of those topics. But how many know money touches so many areas of our life? I don't know, how many remember your first job? I think my first job where I actually made money was delivering papers for the Edmonton Journal. And I had to get up at oh dark 30 and I had to do my paper route of dropping it off. And then as a part of the paper route thing, not only did you have to deliver papers, but you had to do collections. How many of you delivered papers? Okay, how many remember collections? See, they didn't have in our city, you know, like at the time, you could just like go online and subscribe and then pay. Like you were the paper boy or the paper girl, and you had to walk up to the door, knock on the door, hi, I'm here to collect. And I had to get money from customers, and then I had to separate the money, what was my portion, and the portion that went to the paper. It was just a terrible experience. And I learned early on, people didn't like to talk about money. Some people liked when I came, other people didn't. But it's so interesting. So much of our life is touched by money. And I was thinking about, okay, so how do we talk about money, or, you know, around here, and, you know, what's going to be, you know, my big idea? And so I thought, hey, how many know that it's not just about living the dream, it's about funding the dream? How many know that if you're going to live the dream, you got to be able to fund it? If not, it just stays a dream. Can I get a witness on this one? Yeah, how many got that dream vacation, but you got to fund the dream, right? So you know, I was thinking, well, that wouldn't that be a great idea? Or maybe talk about how our financial future is impacted by our financial habits, what we do today. But the topic of finance, just so you know, the Bible has a lot to say about finances. Now, if I asked you, in this spiritual journey, how many believe prayer is important? And just so you know, it is. And the Bible talks about prayer. How many would think faith as a part of this journey is an important thing? Good. Now, did you know that in the Bible, money is talked about more than both prayer and faith? Did you know that? Now, we would quickly say, okay, how we pray or you know, read the Bible or have faith, those are important pieces of this journey. Yet the Bible talks so much about finances, and part of the reason why is because so much of our lives is impacted by our finances. So, for example, it's kind of fun. If you read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15, it says this: "The wealth of the rich is their fortified city." So I want you to get a picture of a fortified city, okay? The wealth of the rich is like a fortified city. It protects them. It shields them. It provides safety. How many know having resource makes you feel a little bit more secure? Can I get a witness on this one? It then goes on to say this, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. Because we all know that when we don't have money and life starts happening, boy, do we feel vulnerable and we feel exposed, and it's just like, oh my goodness, we can get run over really quickly here. It says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11. It says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, and they imagine it a wall too high to scale. And so the idea is that sometimes people get this idea that, boy, if I have riches, that's going to keep everything at bay. Now, what's interesting, again, because money is emotional, did you ever notice that the things that bring us security are often things we begin to put our trust in? And that's what people do with money. They think, if I have money, then, you know, everything's going to work. It's going to create a wall too high, and we'll keep all the bad stuff out. But how many know that doesn't work? And so it'll even say in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28, that those who trust in riches will fall, because ultimately riches, they're helpful, but they're not all that there is. And so we deal with this idea, well, what is money? What is money? And I want to propose that money is just simply a tool. It's actually a means of exchange. Now, how many of us, we go to work, we put in our time, we give our effort, and then at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the pay period, what do they give us? Money. They give us, here's your paycheck, and they give you money. So you take your energy, you take your time, you mix those together, you do it for someone else, and they give you an exchange, and they give you a piece of paper to signify this is what you've done. And then you take your piece of paper and you exchange it with other people for things that you want or things that you need. All money is it's a medium for exchange. And the question is, well, how do we begin to use this tool? What would be the most beneficial way to use the tools in order to help us build our future? So my big idea this morning is simply this, that a better tomorrow requires a better investment. A better tomorrow requires a better investment. We better learn how to use the tool of money in our lives in order that we might prepare ourselves for the future. Now, when it comes to money, many people like shortcuts. How many would love a shortcut? Okay, I'll tell you the things that bug me. Like, how many know it's okay for the pastor to be bugged every once in a while? I'll tell you what bugs me. Listening to commercials for the lottery or for gambling bugs the tar out of me. Just a dollar and a dream. Because what it is it's this idea that, you know what, I don't have to do a whole lot and I can get a whole lot of wealth. Wouldn't it be great if I could just exchange a dollar for millions? But the problem is that many times, even when people hit those rewards, that often they find themselves in terrible situations, and they often end up bankrupt once again because they've actually never learned how to use the tool. And so more than shortcuts, we need to say, God, would you help us understand how to leverage or how to manage money in order that we might have the future that you desire for us? And so we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And as I noted last week, as we looked at Ecclesiastes, there's a preacher in it or a teacher. And within it, we're coming to the end of the book, and he's given all these reflections on life under the sun. Now, within it, one of the things you'll find out as he gets to the end is he's just hitting, he's got a big idea he's trying to hammer home, and that's this, is that wisdom is a game changer. That if you can be wise, it will change everything. And so if you read back in chapter 10, he'll talk about that, you know what, that he's seen people that have been super strong or cities that have been powerful, or armies that are powerful, but wisdom has been able to overcome them. And so there's this whole idea that, boy, if we can just begin to manage our resource wisely, if we can make decisions wisely, it will help us get to a better future. So what we're going to look at this morning is some financial principles for a better tomorrow that come out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I've got 7 of them. Okay, 7 of them. Y'all ready for this 7-point sermon? Levita's blinking her eyes. She's like, good Lord. How many are ready for a nap? Okay, just so you know, you have permission this morning. If anybody falls asleep around you, just nudge them and poke them. Give them a wet willy. That's fine. We'll let it slide in church today. You have to be sleeping. She's just giving wet willies for fun. Okay, so I need your help this morning. So this is how I'm going to ask you to help me as I talk through this stuff. Is if you could be so helpful as to write down or take notes on each of these principles. There's 7 of them. And the reason is because at the end of the message, I am going to challenge you to pick one. Not 7, to pick one. But you got to know which one you're going to pick. So you can put it on a phone, write it down. But these are important ideas that if you're going to make wise decision with finances, these are really, really important, helpful principles to help you grow forward. And so I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to break it down. And so it says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. It says, ship your grain across the sea, and after many days you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. So sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. All right, how many think this is a fun little passage? Okay, 3 of us. Good. You're like, I don't know if it's fun yet. Again, I know I'm talking about money, and so it gets a little awkward in here. Totally understand it. First principle I want you to understand. Intentionality enriches our future. That's the first point. Intentionality enriches our future. Now, as we get ready to talk about this, I want to note a difference between 2 things. How many know there's a difference between preparing for your future and worrying about your future? How many know there's a difference between the two? There's a difference between preparing for your future and worrying about your future. A worrying about the future is where we allow the emotion, the expectation, the negative expectation of what the future is going to be to weigh down our hearts and overwhelm our decisions in the moment. This is why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. And he's reminding people, listen, God cares about you. He knows what you need. He knows the fact that you need food and clothing and shelter. He knows that you need everything. He's like, don't worry, because worry's not going to help your life. It's not going to make you taller. It's not going to lengthen your days. Worry is not a help. How many know worry is not helpful? Okay? But how many times do we spend so much energy worrying about tomorrow? And what the writer to Ecclesiastes is doing is he's not telling us to worry about tomorrow. He's saying, hey, guys, listen. Unless God takes us home today, there's a good possibility we'll be here tomorrow. And possibly the day after that. And the day after that. And the day after that. And should God give us many years, the decisions we're making today have the ability to begin to prepare for what's down the road. And this is why I say intentionality enriches our future. And so he begins by saying this. The way I remember this is from the King James. Cast your bread upon the water. How many remember that one? For those people who knew the Imperials, who knows the Imperials from the, yeah, you can tell the church people, the Imperials, keep on casting your bread upon the water. Okay, you're not singing with. Dude, I thought you were going to join in. It was going to be like karaoke and sing along at the church. But anyways, But this whole idea of casting your bread out of the water, the word that's actually used there to begin that whole passage is actually the word send. Send. To send. How many know when you send something, you're setting something in motion with purpose? So when you send a letter, you're setting something in motion with purpose that it's going to get to a destination. When you send something, you're not just acting, you're creating motion with purpose. And so even as he begins to talk about finances, he's saying, hey guys, listen, you need to begin to send, to have a plan, or to have intention. And one of the things I think is so important when it comes to the issue of money and how we manage our money today with eyes toward the future is that we have to be intentional about having a plan for our money. Because if you don't have a plan for your money, guess what? Someone else has a plan for your money. Did you know that billions of dollars are spent every year in the United States in order to entice you in such a way so that your money can be separated from you and go to another? That's what advertising is, isn't it? It's an enticement. It's like, hey, if you have this, you'll be super cool and popular. If you have this, you'll have security. I've fallen and I can't get up. Right? That's all about security, isn't it? Because that's a big deal. I want that comfort. If I could just have that thing. Boy, and so all these messages are sent to us with the intent to have money move from us to them. And if we don't have a plan for our money, what we'll find out is someone else's plan will cause our money to go places really quickly. And we're not always getting the things that we're longing for. So we need to have a plan. And I don't have time to talk about budgets, but budgets are a really important idea because all a budget is where you take the time in advance of spending to begin to tell your money where to go, where you want it to go. Because what we need to do is we need to get our money to begin to work for us rather than just something that goes away from us. And this is the idea of investing in the future. And this first picture in verse 1 is this idea that, you know what, we've invested in something and we've sent things out in such a way that through time, something of benefit comes back. So I just say, first principle, is that intentionality enriches our future. We actually have to be intentional about our money. The second principle, this is a big one. Ready for this one? Don't eat all your seed. This is a big idea. Now, this passage is being written back in a time in the midst of an agricultural society. How many know we don't live in an agricultural society so much? We may have agriculture around us, but we don't, none of us we got our little hobby garden, but it is not our survival garden, right? Like, I don't know about you, I am grateful that Tops is down the road and Aldi and Wegmans and Walmart because, hey, if it was up to me to grow food, my family would starve. If it was up to me to get meat for my family would starve. I've seen my hunting capacity. You may not have, but it's just it's one of those things. And so we actually have all this easy access to food, but that's not the way it was back in the day. So many people were responsible for growing their own food. And what would happen is as they came to the harvest had two purposes. The harvest had part of the purpose was to feed you today, and the other purpose of the harvest was so that you might have seed for the next season. So it wasn't just about eating, it was also about saving for the next season. Remember hearing a story once of in an agricultural society as the harvest came in, there was a big celebration because look, we got all this food and you know all this harvest. We have so much we can eat till to our heart's content. And they would separate the stuff for the next season. But as time would go on, all of a sudden they'd become aware that oh my goodness, we need to make sure that we're rationing our food because this has got to help us get through to the next harvest. And what would happen is even as it began to get closer to planting time, there would be this sense that, oh my goodness, wouldn't it just be better to eat the seed now? Turn the grain into flour? But if they did that, they would begin to rob their future harvest. And so they had to discipline themselves. They had to, at times, deal with discomfort, not having the ease that they wanted or full bellies because they're like, we've got to have this stuff make it through the next season. I think one of the troubles or challenges we have in the culture that we live in, we live in what's called a consumer society. It's all about eating. It's all about eating, and what we often do is we eat everything. And we have nothing to invest for the future. Did you know that 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck? 78%. That if they don't go into work this week, they're like, I'm not even sure how the bills are going to be paid next week because I've used up all my stuff this week. 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Not only that, 70% of Americans have less than $2,000 in a savings account. That means they're just one challenge away from watching everything go. Now, when I do premarital counseling, I love to sit in premarital counseling and ask kids the question, what would you do with $500,000? And I love watching people as their lives, eyes like light up. Like, what would you do with $500,000? You're like, oh, you get all these plans. And then I tell the kids, hey, or the couple getting married, I say, well, hey, here's the reality. In the next 10 years of your life, you will have more than $500,000 go through your hands. And what will you have to show for it at the end of 10 years? Because this is a really big idea. And what often happens in our world is we consume all of our resource. We often want the latest gadgets and gizmos, streaming services, nice cars. And what we're often doing is, in order to satisfy our need in the present, we're robbing our future. Proverbs 21:20 tells us this: the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools devour all they have. And so, the second financial principle that we have to, like, if we're going to make better financial decisions for the future, is this: is we need to make sure that we don't eat all the seed. That simply means this: live on less than you make. Now, some of you, that's a high anxiety piece, because you're like going, I don't have enough to begin with. And I know this is like a big idea. But part of the challenge to get to better places financially is we actually need to begin to act now. We'll talk about that in a moment. The third principle is we actually have to be generous. That if we're going to have a better financial future, we actually have to be generous. So verse 2 is a call to diversity, where it says, you know, it talks about investing in ventures, in 7 ventures, yes, 8, because you don't know what calamity is going to happen. But more than just an investment, it's actually an attitude of generosity. The word that it begins with is actually give. Give portions to 7, give to 8. Because what's so important about finances is the recognition how we manage our money is a reflection of our character. And we actually need to be a people that is generous, that are generous. Our generosity allows us to become recipients of grace. It tells us this in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. It says, one person gives freely yet gains more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. A generous man will prosper. See, the idea is this, is that, you know what? How many know none of us are too poor to give? Can I get a witness? You say, like, I don't know that I got lots of money. How many know you don't have to have money to be a generous person? How many know you can give a smile? How many know many people in our work, in our world that we interact with, like, they're dealing with difficult things every day, and a generous smile can be grace for them in a moment. How many know that we may not have tons of money, but some of us, we got some time, and we have time that we can give. And if we begin to give our time toward another, to help, to serve, to encourage, if we speak words of life, if we will be generous, what we'll find out is that as grace flows out from us, it will begin to flow back to us. Because as you demonstrate kindness to other people, they often want to show kindness back in your direction. And so in those moments where you're wrestling with calamity, you're not dealing with it alone. Principles, financial principles for a better tomorrow. Number one, intentionality enriches our future. Don't eat all your seed. Be generous. And fourth, we can be certain about uncertainty. If you want to know something that's true about our world, you can be certain about uncertainty. Can I get a witness on this one? How many know life doesn't go always as you plan or as you expect? How many of you have been a little, you've had your life interrupted by uncertain things, things that showed up, and you're like going, oh my goodness, where did that come from? Because how many know this is just part of what life is? There's an uncertainty to it. If you read this passage, there's actually a phrase that's repeated 3 times, and that is simply this: you don't know. How many know there's a lot of things you don't know? You don't know tomorrow. You don't know what's coming up. You know you can do your best planning, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen. And so you know that, you know what, there's uncertainty ahead. And it's really important as we think about financial ideas that we are mindful that we can be certain about uncertainty. Wise financial stewardship is mindful and prepares for the uncertain. Now, I want to touch on two topics real quickly. The first is debt. How many of you love debt? Don't raise your hands. How many of you would wish you had less debt? Yeah, see, there's the hands, right? Yeah, like absolutely. Do you know what? Let me give you a conceptual idea of what debt is. You want to know what debt is? It is a certain obligation for an uncertain future. I want you to hear what debt is. A certain obligation for an uncertain future. How many know that when you're going into the whole debt process, you're making a decision that if you will give me this, I will pay you back this through this time. Can I get a witness on this one? And you signed it. And you committed yourself with a certain obligation for an uncertain future. Now debt is something we wrestle with in our nation. So I don't know if you know this or not, but right now in America, like I think this is just crazy. Every 100 days right now, we are spending $1 trillion more than we're bringing in. Okay, now, a trillion is a big number. I don't know that we always get our minds around it, so I'm going to help you just get an idea how big a trillion is. How many ready to play? How big is a trillion? Say, how big is it? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. All right. So how many of you would love to try and spend $1 million? Come on. How many of you are like going, I'm on it. I'm game. Like after church. And what if I put the parameter on it? You have to spend $1 million today. How many would like to try that game? Right? Yeah, some of you are like, I'm all over that one. Okay. To give you a size or scope or sense of how big a trillion is. If you spent $1 million a day from the birth of Christ, okay, all the way up to today, how many think that's more than a trillion? How many think it's less than a trillion? How many don't know? That is less than 750 million dollars. If you spent $1 million a day, say from zero, you know, from zero all the way up to where you spent it all by spending $1 million a day, you know what year it would be? It would be the year 2738. Okay. Just surprise. We spend that much as a country. Like, that's our deficit every 100 days. Now, before you start complaining about the government, did you know that Americans have more than $1 trillion in credit card debt? Americans have more than $1 trillion in student loan debt. I believe it's more than $1 trillion in automobile debt as well. We won't talk about houses and stuff like that. That's a different story. Decisions that we're making, certain obligations for an uncertain future. See, the Proverbs will say this, that the borrower is slave to the lender. Because what debt does is actually, it binds our hands for the future. This is why sometimes it's hard to get traction for our future, to invest for the future, because we've made all these commitments behind us. Now, the reason I share this is because everyone I meet wants a better financial future. And part of it is, okay, so if that's the case, then what we have to be mindful of is we need to be mindful that, hey, there is an uncertain future, and are we preparing for it, or are we binding our uncertain future to a certain peace, a certain commitment? And so for me, I'm just like going, hey, if wisdom would say, hey, we should be mindful of that. Because our decisions are impacting our future. The second thing I would say, because there's an uncertain future, It seems to me that it would make sense to begin to save for the unexpected. Because there is going to be uncertainty, and we all know it. So how are we preparing ourselves to do it? See, again, part of this idea of what are wise financial principles? One is, hey, you can be certain about uncertainty. And part of it is saying, okay, so what decisions do I need to make today to help prepare for those rainy days? Okay, fifth principle. Here's another good one. You guys are loving this message, I can tell. Some of you are like going, oh man. Number five. Don't wait for the perfect conditions. Don't wait for the perfect conditions. It says in verse 4, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. What it's saying is that they're trying to like gauge the weather. Do we do it now or not? And like, well, look, it's kind of windy. Storm's probably blowing, and this probably isn't the time to do it. Oh, it's time to harvest. Oh, well, it's kind of cloudy out. Yeah, we don't want, maybe this isn't the time. And so we'll just put it off. I remember last week as we talked about time, there was a word that was brought up, procrastination. I mean, sometimes we can procrastinate financially because we're waiting for the perfect time. You know when we need to begin to act wisely with money? It's now. I heard somebody say this, and I like this. When's the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago. When's the second best time to plant a tree? Today. Because how many know trees take some time to grow? The same is true of our investments. They take time to grow. And that's why we need to say, okay, God, would you help me with the time that I have to make wise decisions, not just about yesterday and today, but also in regard to the future? Six. Oh, let me back up. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Let me tell you some areas in your life. You don't have to wait for perfect conditions. When it comes to the areas of tithing, saving, going into debt, like a good time to begin is actually now. I remember meeting somebody once. It was great. I loved them. I love church people. They're always fun. She's like, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give to the church. It's like, that's awesome. And I'm excited because I'm sure if she won, she would. But she never won it. But sometimes people are like, well, I will begin to do the good thing when the conditions are perfect. How many know that we just have to begin to do the right thing regardless of the condition? Okay, six. Our faith needs to inform our finances. Our faith needs to inform our finances. Even as the writer to Ecclesiastes, he talks about the creator in the midst of all of this. How many know that God cares about us? He knows what our needs is, and he wants to do something good in our life. And how many know that he's able to work good even out of the difficult parts of our lives? And so even though we may go through difficult times, it doesn't mean that God's not good. What we have to learn to do in the midst of difficult is to trust God. We need to learn to trust God even in the difficult. You know the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. And shortly after this, he says, now honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. And it's interesting that trust in the Lord isn't too far away from honor the Lord with your wealth. And part of what we have to do is we actually have to bring our faith, we need to allow our faith to begin to inform how it is we manage our finances. Number seven, last one. How many are ready for the last one? You're like, please, this is killing me. I would say this, get the order right. Get the order right. So when I talked about time last week, some people loved it. Some were just like going, oh, I just feel so terrible because I waste so much time. I watched a movie or I do this, and because we talked about wasting time. And how many know people not only waste time, they can waste money. And people feel terrible about that. And I don't want you to think that in talking about this, This is all about having a miserable existence. Like if you read Ecclesiastes, he's actually like this, hey guys, just make sure you're enjoying, like enjoy the grace that God has given you today. How many know that you know what, watching a movie isn't necessarily a bad thing? Going to a hockey game isn't necessarily a bad thing. Can I get a witness on this one? Come on now. Going to a baseball game, going to a play, going to have fun. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. The question is what's the proper order? What's the proper order? I think that in our lives, we need to have parts of our lives that are filled with fun and good. We just have to make sure we're getting our stuff in the proper order. And so there's this verse. I love this verse. It's Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. It says this: put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Okay? Get your fields ready. And again, the fields is all about the future because this is where we're sowing our seed. This is about our future. Get that stuff first and then build your house. Now, what is the house? The house is the place where we find our comfort, our security, where we're nourished, all those fun things. And the writer of the Proverbs, he says, hey, you know where wisdom is? Hey, make sure that you're being intentional about your future rather than just focusing on what you want today. Like, get the stuff in proper order. I don't think our lives should be just miserable. You know, where does it say? All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. It's like, what a lame quote, but that's a real quote. Like, it doesn't even rhyme. All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. I don't believe that God has called us to live dull lives. I do believe that he's called us to live wisely and to make sure we put our pieces in the proper place. Like, there is an okay time, like I said, to go watch a movie or go to a baseball game or a hockey game, go have fun. There's a time to shop and make yourself happy. Like, that's okay. But have you got the stuff in the proper order? And what often happens is we get the order out of sequence, and then we've robbed our options, so we actually can't do the thing we need to do. Put your outdoor work in order, and then get your fields ready. After that, build your house. And I just think that, you know, in our lives, we have to be intentional about growing good seed. Like, we have to be intentional about the harvest. We need to be intentional about the future. And I think that part of it manifests itself not just in finances, though there's a huge part in that, but also in other things. I think that we need to grow our thinking, and in growing our thinking, we actually have to spend some time learning. You know what's awful is when you find out what the statistic is of how many people read a book after graduating high school. It is depressing. Because there's sometimes we're like, I'm done with school. I've learned all I need to know. How many know we haven't learned all we need to know? And there's some areas we need to put our thinking and say, okay, so how can I begin to improve my thinking, grow my thinking, interact with ideas? Because if I can get an idea, maybe I can begin to implement an idea. If I change my idea and all of a sudden I begin to live it, all of a sudden it begins to affect and change my life. So you have to sow to grow your thinking. You have to sow to grow your skills and your abilities. You have to sow to grow your relationships, and you have to sow to grow your faith. So, we're going to close. So, I'm going to do my close. Here's my close. A better tomorrow requires a better investment. I've given you seven principles, seven, right? I ask you to write them down. First one, intentionality enriches our future. Don't eat all your seed. Be generous. We can be certain of uncertainty. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Our faith needs to inform our finances. Also, get the order right. Okay, so of all those seven, which one do you say, hey, you know what? This is the one I need to be working on. This is the one I need to give some time and attention to. Maybe this week. Because if we will begin to say, okay, hey, I'll take one and I'll begin to work it in. If you begin to work wisdom into your life, it's amazing how it begins to change our future. Now, it doesn't happen all at once. But it happens through time. And this is what I know. God loves you too much to just want you to stay just as you are. God wants your life to be filled with His goodness, His grace. He wants your life He wants you to know the joy of this life that He has made for you. And not only that, He wants to help. See, sometimes when we start talking about finances, it's so super emotional. And we begin to get wrecked over the fact of, oh my goodness, I wish I would never have made that financial decision, or I wish I would not have taken out that debt, or I would have done this. You know, it may be that you're wrestling with messes that you've made. And you start talking about finances, and for you, it just flashes up. I'm a failure again in this. I want you to know that God doesn't see you as a failure. God sees you as one whom He loves so much, and He wants to work in you and with you to transform you so that you might know a better tomorrow. The whole reason Jesus came was to transform our lives. And let me just tell you, if He can forgive us our sins, He can help us with our finances. Like if He forgave us our sins, you know what? He can overcome some of that debt stuff that we've messed ourselves up with. He can help change some of our habits because He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word, and He's given us His people. See, God doesn't want you to have to wrestle through all this stuff alone. But God wants us to grow together to become what He's called us to be. And I just want to encourage your hearts. You know what? Finances is always an interesting topic, especially in church. And just so you know, we did the offering before the message. We're not ending with an offering. My heart in this is just simply, God, would You bless Your people? Would You give them wisdom for finances? And my prayer is that our tomorrows would be so much better because of how we believe God and we align our hearts with His Word. In doing so, we have great hope. So, Father, we just want to say thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. Thank You for the opportunity we have just to be in Your house. And Lord, I know this is a sticky subject. I know that this is a... I know it's emotional. I know there are times where we wrestle with our not only our inadequacies, but our frustrations, our failures. Or sometimes we think it's like way too late. But I thank You that You're still the God who redeems, rescues, and restores. And Jesus, we can't do this stuff without You. We need You. And God, I pray for every heart and every home that's represented here. God, You know the worries. You know the fears. Lord, You see the times where it just feels like we don't have enough. Lord, where we feel frustrated, overwhelmed. Yet God, You've come that we might have life. And Father, I speak grace and healing and favor upon Your people. Lord, would You help us? Lord, would You help us? Lord, would You lead us into the future You have for us? God, would You help us manage our finances for Your glory? Lord, we recognize our hope is not in the dollar. But Lord, it's in You. So, Lord, would you help us? Lord, I pray that you would begin to help us experience breakthroughs financially. Lord, I pray by your grace, the work of your Spirit, our alignment with your word, that God, you would begin to bring your people out of debt. That, Lord, you would give them wisdom and creativity that they may flourish. That, God, they may invest well in the future and know your abundance. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness and I thank you for your love. And God, we just simply need your help. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would say, you know what, God, would you just help me in regard to my finances? It doesn't have to be that your finances are a wreck. It could just be like going, God, I just need more wisdom and I need more grace. Would you help me? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. Lord, you see these hands. And Lord, you see the frustrations, you see the questions, you see the desire. And God, I pray that, Lord, as they continue to bend their heart toward you, that you would meet every need. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I want you to know something. I love you. And my prayer for you is that God would bless you and cause you to flourish. That you would choose wisdom and that you would align your hearts with his word. Because as you do, I want you to know he will bring you places, he will bring you out of stuff, and he will bring you to places that will cause your heart to soar. Because he's a good God and he has good things in store for us. Well, hey, as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, may the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Just so you know, Dan's here, and he's got stuff about Cortland Bible Camp. Please be sure to say hi to him. If you want to figure out how the water didn't come out, you can come look. I ain't giving the secret away, because the secret's still Jesus. Hey, I love you. You guys have a wonderful week in him, and we'll see you all soon. God bless.